الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله ارسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعه ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. We praise Him. We seek His help. We seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own selves. Whom Allah guides, there is none who can lead Him astray. And whom Allah leads astray, there is none. And God in the land. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, alone and without partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him with the truth as a bearer of glad tidings and a warner ahead of the hour. Verily Allah and His angels send blessings upon the Prophet. For he who believes, pass blessings upon him and greet him with a worthy greeting. Amma ba'd. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His book, A'udhu billahi min shaitani rajeem, Bismillahi rahmani rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His book in translation, O you who believe, decreed upon you is fasting as it was decreed upon those before you that you may become righteous. Now, I'm sure that every khatib that's been here for the last 5 weeks has reminded you of this, but the reminder is necessary. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the book, A'udhu billahi min shaitani rajeem, Bismillahi rahmani rahim, wa dhakir fa inna dhikra tanfa'u lil mu'mineen. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and reminds, for indeed the reminder benefits the believer. We forget. We're now in the 18th day of Ramadan, depending on when you started fast. And so now you become used to Ramadan. You're used to fasting, you're used to iftar, you're used to coming to the masjid. And people, the human being, accommodates themselves very quickly. And what we get used to, we tend to take for granted. And we start to forget the little things that sharpen our benefit from Ramadan. So the reminder is necessary for you that this is Ramadan and what the benefits of Ramadan are. So inshallah, I will remind you today from a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, related by Salman. Salman radiallahu anhu said, the Messenger of Allah lectured us in the last day of Shaban, saying, O people, you are entering under the shade of a great and blessed month that includes one night which is better than 1,000 months. A month whose fasting Allah has made obligatory and observing its nightly prayers as voluntary option. So we see in this first paragraph that the Prophet ﷺ called Ramadan a great and blessed month. To my knowledge, in searching the other hadiths, he didn't say this about any other month. that it was great and blessed. So this gives you some indication of what Ramadan holds for the believer and the practicer of Islam in the month of Ramadan. And he has said that in this month, as we know, is Laylatul Qadr, coming up next week inshaAllah, in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And this month, this night is worth 1,000 months, which we've all done the math, I think. Who knows how many years that is? 83. 83.3 years. That's more than most people live. So every Ramadan, there's a night that's worth a whole lifetime. A whole lifetime to the individual of worship, that if you kept that night, and in the hadith of the Prophet himself, that whoever prays Isha of the night of Laylatul Qadr has caught some portion of it. So in these last 10 nights, we need to really sharpen our remembrance and really increase our efforts to catch the benefit of this blessed and most important of nights in Islam, because it was also the night that the Quran started to be revealed to the Prophet himself. And the Prophet goes on, he says that the fasting that you do in Ramadan is obligatory for anyone who doesn't have a valid excuse. He's not too old, he's not pregnant, they're not ill or on a journey. These people have excuses. But anybody who doesn't fit into those categories doesn't have an excuse for not fasting. So fasting is obligatory, and the tarawiyah is optional. Some people do it the other way around. They think the fasting is optional, and the tarawiyah is obligatory. You know, you get more people showing up with tarawiyah than you get for the regular salah. At any rate, this is what the Rasulullah said about it. Then he goes on to say, whoever seeks getting closer to Allah during it, meaning the month of Ramadan, by voluntary acts of worship, it would count as if he offered an obligatory act of worship in any other month. And whoever offers an obligatory act of worship during it, it would count like 70 obligatory acts of worship at other times. I'm coming to that. So we see not only did Allah give us a night that is worth a whole lifetime of worship, but every fard that you do in Ramadan is like 70 in another month. So that means if you fast every day of Ramadan, that's like 2,100 days of fasting. If you do that for 10 years, that's like 21,000 days of fasting. I think they said the average life is about 25,000 days. So you can see if you can do this for like 30 years, you've already exceeded the lifetime of worship. Along with the Laylatul Qadr, several lifetimes of worship. And there's a hadith that says that the Prophet, Allah showed him the lifespans of all the people before him, and he commented that the lifespan of his ummah was short, and that there was no way, because people used to live a long time before. We know that Noah preached to the people for 950 years. So our lifespan and the Prophet said his ummah is about 63 years. He said, it's so short, we can't do all the ibadahs that the other people did. And they said, that's when Allah gave him Laylatul Qadr, to make up for that. And now we have the fasting. Allah said that obligatory acts are like 70. So 70 times 30 or 29 is like 230 or 2,100 days of fasting. And then if you do the five daily prayers, which is a fard also, that's like 350 prayers a day. Over the month of Ramadan, that's, 350 times 30, that's 10,500 prayers that you would do in a lifetime as if you do the regular fard in Ramadan. This is, again, a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said also in this hadith that it is a month of patience, and the reward for patience is paradise. It is the month to support, care, and share. It is the month when Allah increases His sustenance to the faithful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I mean the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it's a month of patience. And you have to be patient to fast. You can't fast if you're not patient. Because you have to wait from Fajr to Fajr Maghrib to eat, drink, resume your regular halal activities. You shouldn't resume your halal activities, but halal activities you have to wait to do. So it takes patience. And it takes patience for the whole month. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the reward for patience is what? Jannah. So you got several lifetimes of worship. You got patience, and you got the reward of patience being the Jannah in this month of Ramadan. Then he said that it's a month of support, care, and share. That if someone has some excess things, they should bring it and give it to sadaqah to the masjid. They should sponsor, if possible, they can. They should look out for the people in the community who are in need. This is what Ramadan emphasizes. And we know that Allah increases the sustenance for the faithful because any poor person in Ramadan can go to any masjid, at least in this country, and there's any masjid and get something to eat. There's food everywhere. Sustenance has been increased. I understand that other countries, most of the people make it far home and then they go to the masjid, and I'm sure that the masjids have something for the people who don't have means. So again, increase. If you provide something for someone in Ramadan, this is a hasana. This increases your good deeds. Good deeds wipe away bad deeds. So you see how the system is put together to work in your favor, and particularly in Ramadan, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was generous all the time, but he was most generous in Ramadan. So keep that in mind. Be generous to your fellow preachers here in Ramadan. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to say that whether provides an iftar meal to a fasting person, it will be forgiveness for his sins and freeing his neck from the shackles of the hellfire. And he would gain the same reward due to the fasting person for his fasting without any diminution in the latter. So, feeding, as we said, being a person helping them to have iftar is freedom from the hellfire. And it is forgiveness for your sins, and that you get the same reward as the fasting person without him losing any of his. So it's like having two rewards for Ramadan. Like you're fasting twice along with the other multipliers. So you see the bounty of blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put into this month to those people who are aware and who go to take advantage of it. And so then he says, the people said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Messenger of Allah, not all of us have the means to offer an iftar meal to a fasting person." The Messenger of Allah said, "Allah gives an equal reward to whoever offers the fasting person a palm date, a drink of water, or a sip of milk." So, if you can offer to feed everybody in here, that's a reward. But the person who can only give one person in here a palm date gets the same reward as the person who feeds everybody. Or a sip of water. Or a sip of milk. And you've heard me say this before, that in Ramadan, you should get a partner. You should get somebody to say, we're going to be partners. We're going to get this barter from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if time comes, instead of you taking the first day you get to put it in your own mouth, and I get the first one to put it in my mouth, we'll trade. I'll give you mine, you give me yours. We get barter, we help each other bread, and it's like we got two things. So I recommend to each and every one of you get a partner. for Ramadan, for this time, to get the bond of helping a fasting person break their fast, and you get the reward for that fasting person along with your own, and also the freedom from hellfire and the forgiveness of your sin. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, it is a month whose beginning is mercy, whose middle is forgiveness, and whose conclusion is rescue from the hellfire. Now some people may think, well, you know, first part is mercy, and then that's over, and then there's forgiveness, and then that's over, and then there's freedom from the hellfire. It's not like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give mercy is that He gave us a month of Ramadan in the first place. So the whole month is mercy. But if you practice the things that we talked about in this hadith, then you will get forgiveness for your sins, along with the mercy of Ramadan. So after you've done this, then you get forgiveness. And if Allah forgives you your sins, what other reward is there but Jannah? Freedom from the hellfire. So it's all contiguous. One thing connected to the other in this month of Ramadan. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, make your best to increase 4 good deeds in Ramadan. 2 for pleasing your Lord by declaring La ilaha illallah and asking for forgiveness. So that's the Shahada and asking Allah to forgive you your sins. And 2 that you cannot possibly do without is to ask Allah for paradise and seek refuge from the hellfire. So these 4 things, the Shahada, the asking for forgiveness, the asking for paradise, and asking for safety from the hellfire, the Prophet ﷺ said you should increase these during the month of Ramadan. So we have the rest of Ramadan to increase whatever we've done up until now. And then finally, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever gives a drink of water to a fasting person to break his fasting, Allah will offer him a drink from my hood, that he will never thirst until he enters the paradise. And we know who the Prophet Salah is on the pond of the Prophet in paradise, that one drink from it, and you will never be thirsty again. So for the one who offers a sip of water to someone to break their fast, this is also a reward. These are just some of the rewards of Ramadan that we want to remind ourselves of so that we don't forget and start taking it for granted and think it's just fasting and eating. Fasting and eating, fasting and eating. That's good, alhamdulillah. But there are so many other things that we need to take advantage of in the month of Ramadan. We'll probably have those stuff around all that. We'll know about it. الحمد لله كفاتي بسم الله وفاتك جاهل الملائكة رسولا أولي أجنها كمتنا وطلاب ورباء يزيد في الخلق من يشاء إن الله على كل شيء قدير أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the Prophet ﷺ also said that the gates of hellfire are closed and the gates of paradise are open in Ramadan, and that the devils are chained, and the angels call out, O you who intend to do good deeds, have glad tidings, O you who intend to do evil deeds, refrain until Ramadan is completed. This hadith tells us that the shayateen are chained and the hellfire is closed. But one thing about the chain of shayateen, only the shayateen of the people who are fasting are chained. The people who are not fasting, their shaytan is not chained. And the other aspect of this is that the key to the chains of your shaytan is in your hands. He's chained because you're fasting. If you let him loose, he's loose. Someone gets in your way or makes you angry about something and you forget your fasting, then you have just unlocked the lock on your shaitan and he's out there in front. And we know the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Abu Bakr when they were sitting in the shade of the Kaaba, and a man came and started to abuse Abu Bakr, And Abu Bakr sat quietly and he took it and he took it and he took it until he couldn't take it anymore. And then he got up and he abused the man back in retaliation. And the Prophet ﷺ got up and left. And when the Prophet left, Abu Bakr forgot about this man. He ran after Rasulullah ﷺ. And he asked him, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, why did you leave?" He said, "Ya Abu Bakr, as long as you were quiet, the Malaika were defending you. But when you started to defend yourself, the Malaika left and the Shaitan came. And I don't sit with the Shaitan." So know that you have the key to that lock that keeps your shayateen chained during Ramadan. And we all stand there. I've seen brothers start getting ready to fight each other for the smallest of things during Ramadan, a place in the line, whose car is here first, and this kind of thing. Be aware. Be aware. And then Ramadan is also a proof. Ramadan is a proof that Allah gave the human being the ability to control his nafs. If you ever need a proof that Allah gave you the ability and the responsibility to control your nafs, it is Ramadan, because you do control it in Ramadan. If you can do it in Ramadan, you can do it outside of Ramadan. Keep that shaitan chained up. Ramadan is also the most human act of worship that a human being can do. Because you will not, Allah knows best about the jinn, but you will not find an animal, a lion, or a tiger, or elephant, or any creature giving up his food and his drink and his bad habits and his sexual relations from sunup to sundown. You throw a piece of meat in a cage to a lion and it's Ramadan and it's not time for iftar, you're going to eat that, and if you go in there with it, he's going to eat you. Won't happen. So this is only for human beings. And when we do this, we are the most human. We are the closest to the Malaika that we can get. We exceed them because we do it voluntarily. They don't have a choice. They don't eat. They don't drink. They don't have relations. By nature. But we choose to do this, so we exceed them. And then you see why Allah had all of the creation bow down to Adam. Because of his ability to choose and do right. And then finally, Ramadan, as we said, is the month that the Quran was first started to be revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, read the Quran in the month of Ramadan, but don't just read it. Live it. Live it. Yeah, there's a good, there's reward. Read your juice a day. I did my 30. I read the Quran in the month. My brother was telling me that in Saudi there's a mosque near his house where they read the Quran every 7 days. They started Maghrib and they finish in 2 hours before Fajr. And you know, so only the dedicated people finish with them. But this is one thing. This is good, yeah. But what if you come outside of the masjid and you disrespect your brother or sister? You don't give salam to somebody that just because you don't know them. Well, you give salam to one person and that person standing beside him, you don't say anything to because you're heedless. That Islam is about brotherhood, about inclusion of all the Muslims. Then you've just lost. So these small things are what we have to pay attention to. Because as I said, we get used to them. Everybody's used to the van for a time. And we start talking about people with this. What? We used to it. Change. That's what Islam is about. Change. That's how you mark time. People change. So please, let us take advantage of what we have left of this Ramadan. There's no guarantee that any of us are going to finish it. Inshallah, may Allah accept what we've done so far and help us to do better. Allahumma ajjal li muslimina wal muslimat. Al-mu'minina wal mu'minat. Al-adiyani minum wa minwa'at. Innaka anta samiul karim wa mujibu wa atin ya rabbul alamin. ربنا إنا سمعنا منديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا وآتنا وآتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يا رب الدنيا إنك لا تخزي الدنيا. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى والنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقيموا الصلاة.